I'm going to share today with you my testimony. And it's quite an amazing story, and every word of it is true. There's nothing that's been embellished or exaggerated. Just as it is, it's pretty amazing. It doesn't really need anything to be added to it. But I'm going to tell you exactly how it occurred, and I remember every detail of it. When something very important happens in your life and impresses you, you don't forget things about it. So I'm going to share this with you. Someone once said the best place to start is the beginning, so we'll start at the beginning. I was born in 1959 to a Catholic schoolgirl who had become pregnant, unmarried, and she was 16 years old at the time. The Catholic Church arranged for an adoption to a Catholic family. So in those days, the girl would go away to a Catholic home and be kept in secret, secreted away for the period of her pregnancy, which was in this case 9 months. So she came to a small town to have the baby, and then she would reappear in her life back at the Catholic school, and they would say, "Where have you been?" She'd say, "Well, we took a vacation to so-and-so, went out of the country for a few months," and that's how it was handled. So I was one of those prearranged adoptions that came up, and the people who adopted me, it was an adoption through the Catholic Church. My adoptive mother, I'll refer to her as my mother and my father from here on out. If I say my natural mother, my birth mother, that's the mother who had me. But my adopted mother and adoptive father, I'll refer to them as mother and father from here on. So the mother that adopted me was Catholic. She was raised in the Catholic Church and had gone to Catholic school, and that's how she found out about the adoption. They contacted her. My father... my mother and father had been married for 13 years at this time. They were couldn't have kids, and they wanted kids really bad, and they weren't really looking for the adoption. It just kind of came to them. And the Catholic Church contacted them and said, "We know you don't have kids. Would you like to have kids?" And, of course, they said absolutely. And it was a fairly quick process, as I understand it. Maybe it took a month to get all the paperwork done, and then... But my dad, my adopted dad, was not really a Christian. He kind of went to church as a boy because his mother made him go sit on the pews of the church, you know, the old school thing. My mother was Catholic. My dad was not. So he had to convert all of a sudden in a quick conversion to Catholicism. And I don't know how they did that. They did something in the Catholic Church, and he became a Catholic. Voila. I was born, and the stipulation of the adoption was I had to be raised in the Catholic faith, which was not a problem because my mother was old school Catholic with the Latin Mass and the whole nine yards. So from the time I was a child, I was, of course, in Catholic school. They brought me up in Catholic school, and I was involved in the Catholic Church as an altar boy and of all those things, all the things a young man will do in the Catholic Church. And it was a nice experience. There were good people involved. I just never clicked. I never connected with the faith. It didn't click with me. Some people it didn't to me. It was just some exercise we had to do. We had to get up on Sunday morning, and once a month I had to put on the robe, the black and white robe, and be an altar boy and help the priest. And I really hated to do that on Sunday mornings because that was when one of my favorite cartoons was on. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. It was Bullwinkle and Rocky was my favorite cartoons, and I hated to go to church because of that. So I know the craziest things can imprint a child, but that's what it was. So I really never clicked with the faith. In Catholic school, the priests would come out and play soccer with us and play football, and that was a positive experience for me. I didn't have a negative experience with the priest, other than when I was an altar boy, one of the things that I had to do as an altar boy was we would stand on the back porch of the church before service, and I would have to hold the priest's cigarette while he would be putting the priestly garb on. Sometimes the altar boy's job was to hold a cigarette for him. So smoking and drinking was quite permitted in the Catholic Church, and I assume still is. I've been away from the church for a long time. And I'm not slamming Catholics here. I mean, there's some fine people that are Catholics. I'm just telling you my experience. So that's how I was raised, and my opinion of faith and God and all that was nil. I mean, as I got to be a teenager, I began to play music in a rock and roll band. I was a gifted musician, found out, you know, later that I had a musical genius IQ. So it was really easy for me to play music for whatever reason. I could sit down at a piano and play songs that I'd never heard, just play them. And same with the guitar. And I had a good singing voice, so I was able to work as a professional musician. And, of course, that world took me much farther from any kind of faith. So by the time I was a senior in high school, I was playing professionally and earning really good money. And I had offers from talent agents to sign up and go on tour as soon as I graduated high school. And this is what I chose to do. I had been accepted to college, but I just didn't want to go to college. I wanted to go and pursue my music and do that. So I went on the road and what you could call a wild extended vacation. While I was on the road, I learned things that a boy from a small town just doesn't learn in his upbringing. So I went further and further into the world of debauchery, if you will, of kind of living the life of a rock star. I mean, as a rock star in my own mind, I was certainly not a star, but I was living the rock and roll lifestyle. And I was 18 or 19 years old, and I was out having the time of my life. So one of the cities that we passed through when I was on the road, I decided I'd like to come back there and get off the road for a while. So I did. And I always was interested in the martial arts. I had a cousin who was a black belt in karate, and he was my hero. You know, he was an older guy. He was probably 15 years older than me. And when I was a little kid, I would watch him. He would come home. He was actually was an agent with the FBI also. And he would come home, and I thought this guy walked on water because he was, you know, this black belt in karate, and he'd get in the backyard and break bricks with his karate chops. And I know. It's cheesy, but it just did it for me. So I wanted to learn karate. So one of the cities that I had toured through, there was a martial arts school there, and I decided to settle down and get my black belt. I wanted to earn it. It takes a couple of years, 3 years sometimes. Took me two because I went full time day and night. So I earned my black belt literally in 24 months, which is kind of accelerated. But I had a job that allowed me, because I played music at night from, 10 o'clock until 2 in the morning, and I had all day and all night off, so I could train literally every day. So I got into the martial arts, and I was a musician and a martial artist. So that combination took me so far away from God. You know, God had become a joke to me. It was these people that believed in this stuff. It was just a joke. And whoa, you know, so there's something disconnected in their mind, in my opinion. How could you believe in something you can't see or touch or feel or any of that? So it was ludicrous. So as the Lord would have it, here I am, this atheist guy, raised Catholic, which that, you know, the whole Catholic experience just was nothing to me, turned me off. I thought, what a waste of time and effort. Here's this atheist guy, rock and roll musician, black belt in karate, so into myself. I mean, everything was about me, as you would imagine, a young guy, just turned 21 years old, had this friend. I loved this girl. She was the greatest friend I would work out with her. We did martial arts. We hung out together, everything. But she was a Christian. All right, she had been walked on the wild side and done drugs and the whole deal, but she had given her life to Jesus a couple of years before that, and she was steady as a rock. Here I am wanting to do, you know, everything that is not good for you, and she would say, no, I'm not going to be involved in that. We can't do that. And I would just pick at her and pick at her. Well, coming to find out, the Lord was using her to lay a foundation for my life, so that when my conversion came, all of these seeds she was planting all this time would come to fruition. I was teaching martial arts in a fitness center and playing music also. I was doing, had two jobs doing that, which the music wasn't really a job. That was more of a fun type thing. But I would teach martial arts and manage the fitness center. I was a co-manager there during the day. And I'm just having a great time going along my merry way. And I'm an atheist. I mean, I'm laughing at God. I'm laughing at all things that are faith. So one of my jobs at the fitness center was to sign up new people who came in who wanted to join the fitness center and take karate lessons or both or either one. So my job was to enroll people in our fitness center. So every day I would meet people as they came in, and I would take them on the tour, and they'd fill out the little checklist, and I would sit them down in the office, and I would sign them up. I was a very good salesman. I had a high what we call closing ratio. So literally 9 out of 10 people who came in, if they had the money to join, they joined with me in that little short time. It would take about 20 minutes to do a little tour and sit them down and do the, quote, paperwork. And, you know, it's the same thing still done today. If you join fitness centers, you know, it's the same sort of an approach. So that's what I did. So one Tuesday night, it was about 5:30 in the afternoon, and that's usually a pretty busy time. These three people walked in, and it was my turn to take the next group that came in and get them signed up. Just a routine thing. Two guys and a girl, a little bit older than me. I'll say in their mid-20s. Normal looking, kind of looked hippie-ish, you know, looked a little bit like hippie people. But I was okay with that because I was from the music world and I'd kind of, I was used to people looking like that. So I gave them the tour, very polite, nice guy and girls, girl and guys. We did the tour. I showed them the fitness center, showed them all the machines like I did, you know, every day, all day. I could do this in my sleep. We came in the office, shut the door. I had a desk there. I would sit behind the desk, and they would sit in the chairs in front of the desk. And I would turn the paperwork around to them and say, these are our fees. These are our membership plans. Which one would you like? And they would sign and give me their $30 for the month, and that would be that. So I did my little spiel, and I said, so which membership would you like? Turned the clipboard around to them, and they didn't say anything. One of them said, well, we need to go pray about this. We pray about everything before we make a decision. And that was kind of odd to me. I said, you need to pray about it? What do you mean you need to pray about it? Well, he said, we are Christians, and we pray about things before we do this, but we will come back tomorrow and tell you. Well, this was the first time I'd ever heard anyone give me that objection. We call them objections in sales training. So as a good salesman, as I was trained to be, I had to counter that objection by asking a question. That's what you do when someone makes an objection to your sales. You ask a question to dig deeper into what they're objecting to. So the only question I could think of to ask when they said, we're Christians and we need to pray about this, is I said, well, what church do you go to? Well, that opened a whole can of worms, a good can of worms for me. But I said, what church do you go to? One of them said, well, we go to a charismatic church. And I had to keep asking questions, had to keep probing. Part of the sales process, I said, well, what'd you call that? He said, it's charismatic. I said, well, is that like a Catholic church or Baptist or what is it? And he said, well, no, it's a non-denominational church. I said, nomination? What? He said, no, it's a non-denominational, which means it's not any certain label of a denomination. What you mentioned, Catholic and Baptist and Methodist, those are denominations. We're a non-denominational church. I said, oh, okay, well, what's that other part, that craftmatic thing? And he said, oh, charismatic. We're charismatic. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And by this time, I'm getting a little bit intrigued, a little interested in what they're saying. Now, I'm in the salesman mode. I'm behind the desk. They're in front of the desk. Two guys and a girl sitting there looking at me. I said, you believe in the gifts of the Spirit. So what does that mean? Like, you bring gifts to church every Sunday like it's Christmas or something? And he said, no, it's not that. It's a different kind of gifts. The gifts of, we believe, as the Bible teaches, that we have the gifts that God, the Holy Spirit, gave us. And those are, we can lay hands on people, and we can see them healed. And we pray in a heavenly language. We pray in tongues. We have the gift of tongues. I said, whoa, you do what? He said, we pray in tongues. I said, what is a tongue? He said, well, it's a prayer, a heavenly prayer language that's a different language than the one that you speak. We're speaking English now, but it's a heavenly, a different language. And I said, oh, it's like Spanish. You guys speak Spanish at church and English. He said, no, it's not Spanish. It's not necessarily Spanish. It could be Spanish, but it's an individual language that God gives to each one of us, and it's the way we communicate with Him. It's a language that just He has, and it could be a spoken language somewhere in the world, but we don't know that. All right, these dudes are getting my interest up now. It's a language that you speak, but how do you learn it? Do you learn it in church? They said, no, God gives it to us. I said, so it's a language that you don't even know, but you can speak it. And they said, yes, that's right. So by now, I'm talking to these people, and I'm into what they're saying. I'm listening to what they're saying. It's intriguing to me. So we speak for probably another hour and a half. You know, and this is supposed to be a 20-minute process, but I've shut the door, and we're in the office, and I have a big picture window. I can see what's going on the workout floor, but we're in the office. And I'm listening to these two guys and a girl, and it's taken about an hour and a half, and they're telling me these things about their church and about the Lord and about being saved. So about 2 hours into it, I say, you know, I'd like to hear that tongue thing. I would like to hear you do that. That's interesting to me. They looked at each other and they said, okay, we'll pray in tongues and you can hear it. Just bow your head. So I'm behind the desk in my chair. I bow my head. They're in front of me in three chairs in front of my desk. They grab hands and bow their heads. I bow my head and I can't help. I can't stand it. I got to peek. So I look up and I peek with my eye to see what they're doing. Well, they're motionless and sit there for about 30 seconds, maybe a minute. And then no sound comes out. Nothing is said. And a little voice in my head starts saying, see, I told you this was a scam. These people, they can't do this. This is make-believe. This is fantasy stuff, more of that Christian fantasy. So I started getting that kind of a negative image in my mind. One of them looks up, one of the guys, and says, I'm sorry, we can't pray in tongues just to prove to you that God is real, because the Lord said in my spirit that he is real, and he doesn't have to prove himself that way to you. Well, the voice in my head said, uh-huh, I knew it was a scam. And then the Christian said to me, but the Lord said, we won't pray in tongues, but he'll give you the gift of praying in tongues if you'd like to be born again right now. Rick, do you want to be born again into the kingdom of God with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? And he looked right at me. And at that moment, I surrendered. I looked at him, something in me. I think it was from all those seeds that my Christian friend had been planting that previous year. I told you, I'd just given her such a hard time, but she consistently kept planting those seeds. Something in me woke up to what this man had said to me. And he said, Rick, do you want to be born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? I didn't even know what other tongues were. You've got to put this into perspective. Here I am, an atheist, rock and roll guy, girlfriends everywhere. Any kind of substance abuse I could possibly want is at my fingertips. Now, I'm not into drinking and drugs because I'm into the fitness lifestyle. That's why I'm in the martial arts business and, you know, doing the fitness thing. Because so I'm not high. I'm not drunk when this is happening. Didn't touch drugs. Didn't want to do that. That was in, you know, another time in my life. But now I'm in this fitness craze, still doing rock and roll. And this guy's telling me I can speak in tongues. I've never heard of speaking in tongues, much less heard anyone speaking in tongues. I couldn't tell you anything about the Bible. I was an atheist. I knew nothing. I don't think I'd ever cracked a Bible other than when I was a Catholic altar boy and we had to learn certain memorization of things. I'd never looked in a Bible. And he looks across my desk at me and says, you can be born again. Do you want to be born again? I looked at him and I said, yes, I do. And I meant it. I meant it. Time stood still and I meant it. They stood up from the chairs where they were sitting. They walked around behind my desk. They said, just sit there. Don't get up. Just sit there. They said, we're going to put our hands on you and you'll learn about this later, but it's called laying on of hands. We're going to pray for you and we're going to touch you. So don't freak out. Okay. I said, it's okay. They put their hands on my shoulders. One of them put his hand on the upper part of my back. I said, what do I need to do? He said, all you need to do is close your eyes and open your heart and your mind to the Lord and forget. This was important. This is what he said to me. I want you to forget everything you think you ever knew about God or anything you think of him right now. Open your mind up and erase that and just receive what he has for you. I closed my eyes. I bowed my head. They began to pray for me, and almost immediately. Something started at the top of my head, the crown of my head. It was like one of them had a big bucket of hot oil, honey. It was very thick, and it was starting to pour down my head, and it was moving at about an inch every few seconds, just slowly moving down. It had gotten to about my ears now, and this warm feeling was coming over me, and this, you know, just reliving it right now. I'm feeling that feeling. It's amazing that when the Holy Spirit comes. So this thing moved down. It got to my shoulders. When it got to my shoulders, it started to move down. I'm sitting down and my head's bowed. And at this point, I'm starting to kind of freak out a little bit because I'm feeling this thing come on me. I open my eyes and I look straight ahead. Now they're standing behind me with their hands laid on me. I look straight ahead and all I can see is white, pure light. I'm in my office, but all I can see is white light. It's like, as I've recounted this many times to people, it was like looking directly at the sun, but it was not sunlight. It was white light, but it was brighter than the sun, but it did not hurt my eyes. I'm looking at this white light. My eyes are wide open and I'm blinking, trying to figure out why am I seeing just white light? And in that light, in the distance, I saw the figure of a man. The light was behind him, so I saw him as a shadow. He was standing with his feet together, with his arms out by his side in an open motion. They were probably a foot away from his hips, standing with his arms open. No words were spoken, but in my spirit I heard him say, "I am Jesus. Come unto me." My spirit heard him say that. I saw him. He was in that white light, and I said, "I'm coming, Lord." I closed my eyes again. That feeling continued. That warm honey oil Holy Spirit thing kept going down my body. By now it was down to my waist, and it went all the way down my legs, all the way to my feet, to the floor. I'm bathed. I'm covered in this. About that time, a spasm started. I don't know if you've ever been in extreme cold weather and your teeth start to chatter. It's so cold that your jaw starts to spasm. Well, that's what happened. On the left side of my jaw, my head's bowed and my eyes are closed. I start feeling the spasm. My jaw starts going. You know, if you can hear that on this recording, it just started kind of trembling. And then my right side started, and my teeth were just chattering. I wasn't cold, but it was the spasm in my jaw. All of a sudden, a voice came out of me in a different language that I don't know what the language was. I began to pour this language out of me. Once again, I'd never heard of speaking in tongues, much less heard anyone do it. A heavenly language started to flow out of me. Just as fast as my lips would move, I was pouring this out. As best I can tell, it took about 30 minutes for me to wake up from that. When I came out of that, the three Christians, the two guys and the girls, had gone back and sat down in their chairs on the other side of my desk. I hadn't moved. I was still in my chair. I was just pouring out the heavenly language. And they were sitting there with their jaws dropped looking at me. Now, little did I know, because I didn't know any of this, I didn't know that that's not usually how people are converted, that they usually don't have that miraculous baptism of the Holy Spirit all at once and it hits them. But this was probably the first time that it ever happened with these three Christians. They were just kind of stunned. They were thinking, "Thank you, Jesus. Look at, he got it. He got." So I'm sitting there and I'm just ecstatic when I opened my eyes, when I came to. I got to tell you, I took a deep breath, and all of a sudden, the world smelled totally different. It was the greatest fragrances I've ever smelled. Now, nothing's changed with me. I'm sitting the same person. I'm in this chair. Hadn't had a drop of alcohol to drink, no drugs, nothing. I am stone sober. I breathe in, and it is a totally different world I'm inhaling. Everything smells different. All the fragrances of life are totally different. I look with my eyes, all the colors that I never really used to see are all of a sudden vivid and bright. It's like I stepped into a new world. And I'm not exaggerating any of this. I was not ever colorblind. I could see colors. I had good vision. But all of a sudden, the colors were alive and vibrant. The smells were so fresh. I took a deep breath, and I knew right then what it feels like to be born again. I had just, like a baby, come out of the womb, and I had no sin at that moment. That moment, I felt like what it's going to feel like when we get to heaven and are in the presence of the Lord. That moment, I knew, this is real. There's a difference about me. Everything was just wonderful. If you're born again, you've had this experience, you understand the world was, I was a different human being. I had a different personality instantly. I cussed like a sailor. I mean, it was a habit with me. That's just the way I spoke because it was cool in the world, the people I traveled in. That's the way it was. I instantly stopped. I just didn't cuss. Now, that was a habit. It was instantly broken. I was a different human being. I saw the world different. My personality was totally different in an instant. So here I am. I'm looking at these three, and I'm babbling still. And they said, okay, now by this time, you understand, it's 9 o'clock, it's closing time, and everyone's kind of leaving the fitness center and looking through my window going, what in the world is going on? He's lost his mind in there. These people in there with him. It's about 9 o'clock, and one of them says, okay, we need to leave. We're going to, you know, we know you've got to close down, and we will come back tomorrow and tell you if we're going to join the fitness center or not. And I'm so excited. I just said, oh, I don't care about that. That doesn't matter to me. Whatever. I'll give you the membership. I'm so happy. And they said, no. We'll come back and we'll tell you if we're going to join, and we'll pay for it. You don't have to give it to us. And I said, I don't care about that. I feel wonderful. And they said, we know you feel wonderful, and we need to tell you what's happened to you and explain some things to you so you'll know. And I'm saying, yes, okay, tell me what happened. They said, all right, there's two things, there's two powers. There's good and there's evil. I said, yeah. And I said, there's God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and then there's the enemy, which is Satan. And you're familiar with Satan. I said, Satan, yeah, like The Exorcist, like the movie The Exorcist. And they said, yeah, kind of that, yeah, Satan, he's bad and God's good. Yeah. I said, well, what happened tonight was you didn't know it, but you had been serving Satan for your entire life. You were one of his servants. And God set up an ambush tonight for us to come in here and steal you out of Satan's camp and bring you into God's family. And Satan is going to be really mad about that because you probably were one of his good servants. And I'm saying, yeah, whatever. You know, I'm barely clicking with what they're saying because I'm so on a high right now. They said, so the enemy, Satan, is going to come at you when we leave here, and we need to tell you what to do. Now, he reached in his pocket and pulled out one of those little soul winner Bibles, that New Testament little soul winner. You carry it in your pocket. Thank God for those things. No telling how many people that was their conversion, the food that they had to have, life support for them. And for me, it was. I'd never even held a Bible. I don't really think I'd even held one. He handed me that soul winner's Bible, and he said, you defeat the enemy with the word. I said, okay, what's the word? See, I thought it was some code word that they had, that I had to know the secret word, and then all of a sudden the devil would, you know, leave me alone. I said, what's the word? What's the code word? And he said, no, it's not a code word. It's the word. It's the Bible. We call it the word of God. We call it the word for short. It's the word. I said, okay. They said, now, you have been stolen out of the enemy's camp. And when we leave here, the devil's going to come to you, and he's going to talk to you. He's going to say some things. He's going to say, number one, those people are crazy. Forget that. Forget what you just went through. That was make-believe. It was in your head. It was in your mind. Forget it. And I'm saying, okay, is that what he's going to say? And they said, yes. So when he says that to you, you defeat the devil with the word. You beat him back with the word. I said, what's the word? He said, the word is this. greater is he that is in me than he that is within the world. I said, oh, okay, I got it. They said, no, you need to write that down. You need to have that because you need to speak that verbatim when he comes at you. Oh, okay. So I took a little pad and I wrote down, great, word for word, they wanted me to write it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is within the world. I wrote it down just like they asked. They said, all right, we're going to be back. We're going to leave you this little Bible here, and I know you're going to want to read it. I said, oh, I can't wait. I want to read it all, cover to cover. And they said, it's going to teach you a lot of things that you need to know. See, I didn't know. I thought Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the Beatles. Man, I'm serious. I knew nothing at all about the Bible. So I couldn't wait to devour it. So they got up. They said, we're going to be back tomorrow. And they tell me what time, at 5:30, same time. And we'll check on you. We're going to check on you whether we join the fitness center or not. I said, I don't care if you join the fitness center. I don't care about any of that. And they said, well, we know. We understand. But we're going to check on you because you're a baby Christian. You've just been born again, and you're going to need someone to kind of help you get in the right place you need to be, get in the right church, and teach you and mentor you a little bit. And I was so happy. I said, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. They walked out my door. They waved goodbye, and they shut my office door. And I was still sitting down. When the door shut, I heard this audible sound. If you've ever been in a walk-in meat freezer and the door shuts, it has a suction like a vacuum sound. That's the sound that I heard when my door shut. And the minute it shut, this thing started at the top of my head and started to slowly creep down me. And the best I can describe it is, it was like a black, nasty smoke cloud, and it was filthy, and it started at my head, started to come down my body, and it got about to my shoulders, and I smelled this horrible, nasty, stinky, I can't even describe the nasty smell that I breathe. I thought, where is that? What is this? It got to my shoulders, and this little voice got in my head and said, those people are crazy. Let's get out of here. Let's get to a bar and get a drink and forget everything they said. They messed with your mind. They got you believing some crazy stuff. Come on, you know better than that. And I'm starting to panic because all of a sudden this nastiness is all around me. I'm having these horrible thoughts. So I looked for that sheet of paper, that little notepad that I wrote what they told me to say down, and I grabbed it and I said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And when I said the word world, just like that vacuum sound, that thing, whatever it was in there, lifted off of me and went out that door. And that fresh fragrance was back. The colors were back beautiful. I had that peace back on me. And I realized at that moment, this is real. This is real. My life has changed forever this moment. And the rest of the story, it continues. It gets even more interesting than that. But if that's how my conversion happened, and I realize that it's not going to be that way for everyone, and some people have served the Lord for years but haven't experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that's not what this testimony is about, to try to teach you how to get that or to receive that. I'm just telling you what happened to me. This is exactly how it happened. Nothing was stretched, embellished. Nothing was exaggerated. This is what happened. And I want to end this segment with a prayer. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this story with whoever's listening to this. Lord, bless this podcast as it goes out. Reach out and supernaturally touch those who are the listeners to this. And Father God, move their life in the direction that you would have it to go. Start to put the pieces in place for them to fulfill the destiny, the good plan that you have for them. And in Jesus' name, I ask this.